This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. With the midterm elections less than a month away, it's important to know where the candidates stand on important issues. Health care reform and the Affordable Care Act are part of the debate. Public participation in ACA surpassed expectations in North Carolina, but the governor and legislature opted out of key provisions. So what part is the Affordable Care Act playing in the campaign rhetoric, and what, in fact, are the effects so far of the landmark legislation? Time Warner News senior political reporter Loretta Bonita joins us now. Loretta, welcome. Good to talk with you.
You too. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, let's talk about this a little bit. I'm curious to know what you think, what part health care and health reform plays in the part in the minds of voters, because clearly if you look at the campaign ads and a couple of the debates, it seems to be important to the candidates. Any indication how important this might be to voters?
I agree with you that you would think that it would be something that's pretty important to voters. And if you had asked me last year at this time, I would have told you it'd probably be one of the number one issues during this campaign season. Time Warner Cable News actually just released a poll this week done by Survey USA, and we asked what the most important issue was in this election for the voters. And health care came in, 19% of the people said that it was the most important issue for them. That's equal to education. So it's not one of the number one issues on the minds of the voters, yet it is something that the candidates all do want to talk about.
Well, we'll get back to health care in a minute, but what was number one?
Number one was the economy. I think it's always going to be the economy.
Well, so as we said, health care is an important part of economic issues as well. It's a budget question and certainly an issue when it comes to the Affordable Care Act. Tom Tillis ran a series of ads that associated Kay Hagan with the Obama administration and reminded people that she voted for the Affordable Care Act. And that, as I said, came as a kind of an accusation, assuming that you didn't like the ACA and that you knew what it did. Kay Hagan, for her part, reminded people about problems with the Medicaid Department, HHS, here in North Carolina, computer problems, as well as the legislature's failure to vote for or refusal, really, to expand Medicaid, leaving 500,000 North Carolinians without health care. So all of that is part of the debate. Then Tom Tillis talked about that in Tuesday's debate. He talked about what he didn't like about ACA, but also suggested there were parts of it that that were working.
Adding $1 trillion to the debt, which is what Obamacare will do, doesn't make sense. Robbing Medicare of $700 billion over the next 10 years by reducing doctor reimbursements and hospital reimbursements do not make sense. Having a child under the age of 26 on their parents' health plan makes perfect sense. Having a treatment for pre-existing conditions, perfect sense. I believe the American people would embrace it, and they would quickly embrace not having the 2.5 million equivalent jobs lost through this regulatory overreach.
All right, Loretta Bonita, some of that sounds like a call for repeal, some of it a call for change. Where does Tom Tillis stand on ACA? Does he think it can be fixed? If so, how? Or is repeal for him the only answer?
He seems to give the answer that he believes that it needs to be repealed, and then immediately those two things that he just talked about, the pre-existing conditions and under 26 being able to be on your parents' health care plan, he believes that you could then just pass that part of it separately and then work out the rest of the details as far as what to do about health insurance as you move forward. But he certainly seems to fall down on the side of repeal, although that's not the words that often come out of his mouth while he's talking about it.
And just as a matter of fact-checking, when he talks about the jobs that would be lost, that's according to a CBO, Congressional Budget Office report. But what the CBO was saying is that people who now have health insurance and were keeping full-time jobs just for the health insurance under ACA might move back to part-time. And so those hours would be changed as a result of ACA, but that ACA itself doesn't result in the loss of jobs. That's a fact check there. Interesting to see the sort of relative positions. Senator Kay Hagan then fires back at him, putting Tillis talking about Medicaid expansion.
Let me tell you what he's done to the state of North Carolina. No state exchange. What would certainly help the people in North Carolina. But the other big factor is rejecting Medicaid in our state. 500,000 people in this state unable to receive care. Those people still get sick. What do? They go to the emergency room, which is the most expensive care, and it's not even treatment. That is not right. He could, just like that, could have made that happen.
And again, a fact check. I think the latest figures show that 400,000, not 500,000, which was the initial estimate, of North Carolinians are without health care because of the refusal to expand Medicaid. So what do you think? Does this issue, do you think, work to Kay Hagan's advantage? Again, in the minds of voters, do swing voters care about the Affordable Care Act or Medicaid expansion? Does this work for her?
I'm not sure it's really going to work for the swing voters. It's definitely playing to her base. This was something that really angered the Democrats when Republicans wouldn't even consider that option of taking the Medicaid expansion using federal dollars for it. I mean, that was dead as soon as it arrived in the General Assembly. They had no interest in it. So I really think she's playing to her base voters by saying that this was such a bad idea.
Well, this issue also came up in the congressional race between incumbent Republican Renee Elmers and Clay Aiken. They met last week and talked about this. The topic of health care did come up, and here's Clay Aiken.
People are hurting from this. People are helped. You're right, David. 8 million people have health care. People who were being kicked off of their health care plans are no longer being kicked off of their health care plans. But businesses and people are hurting, and you're sitting around continuing to try to do something that you admit will not happen, and you're not fixing the problems. You know what? If you've got enough votes in 4 years to repeal it, then repeal it. But right now, please just do your job. Please just do your job and fix their problems today.
Again, Loretta Beniti, when it comes to whether you're appealing to swing voters or your base, does this argument that, look, you've been calling for repeal, it has failed in 50-some-odd votes, you say you want to fix it, but you haven't told us how, is that something that would, again, play to swing voters, or are we just playing to the base here?
Well, I think it plays a little bit to swing voters because any poll you look at, everybody's frustrated with Congress that they can't seem to get anything accomplished. And one of the things that the House seems to keep accomplishing is voting to repeal the Affordable Care Act. They just keep voting on it and voting on it. And I think a lot of people question, why are we spending time doing that when we can't seem to decide on any other issues? So this one might play a little bit more to those voters who might not care one way or the other necessarily about the Affordable Care Act, but they do care about the fact that they feel like Congress might be wasting time.
Well, here's Congresswoman Renee Elmers, who said that she wasn't able to repeal ACA, but then again, as you suggest, not too clear about what to do next.
This is what we're looking for as Republicans. We know that we can do it better. And you are absolutely right. We're never going to be able to repeal this as long as the president, the namesake of this legislation, is in office. But we can work with our Senate majority if we win it so that we can put reforms in place. We voted over and over again for patient-centered care where families and doctors are making decisions, not the federal government.
We're talking about politics and medical reform and the ACA today on The State of Things. Loretta Beniti is with me, senior political reporter for Time Warner Cable News. Are there specifics out there? Are there any Republican proposals that would change and speak to some of the complaints now that ACA has been around for a while, that would call for change?
There certainly is discussion going on about what some of the changes are that they want. But the problem is that the Republicans can't decide actually how to move forward. It's some of the same ideas that we've been hearing for years now, things like letting insurers sell across state lines or letting small businesses pool together to buy insurance. All of these are issues that are trying to keep the cost of insurance down, but it doesn't answer that question of how to make sure that everybody has some sort of health care coverage. And Republicans were doing a lot of negotiating. It certainly felt like they were doing a lot of negotiating and that we might see a vote on this at some point. And then the person who was really pushing this was Eric Cantor. Then he lost in his primary. And it felt as though the Republicans suddenly then, okay, now we can't seem to come together on an idea to put an alternative out there. I think there were plenty of Republicans who wanted an alternative before this year's election cycle.
Do you think that was right? I mean, Cantor's the fact that the attack from the right was successful in the primary chastened or sent a shock of fear through Republicans that we better not touch this issue. We better, stick to our guns before or risk losing our base.
I think there's a lot of Republicans out there who probably at this point, if you ask them off the record, would tell you the Affordable Care Act is not going to get repealed. I mean, it's a social program that now is helping people. Ultimately, in the end, it is not going to get repealed. However, you're going to hear them in their stump speech say that they want to see the Affordable Care Act repealed, because that's what the base wants to hear and does not want to hear we're going to make a lot of changes to it or attempt to make a lot of changes to it. And I think when you saw Eric Cantor lose in his primary, that made even more Republicans say, okay, we really better not change our stance on this going into the election season.
You said last year you would have thought that this would have been a big issue. It has slipped to number 19 on a recent Time Warner Cable News poll. Does it surprise you that certainly the Republicans were counting on the fact that the association between Kay Hagan, the Obama administration, and ACA was going to be a big boost for them? Are you a little surprised that it slid down the list as it has?
I think I am surprised by it, because it was obviously the number one news story at this time last year. Everybody was paying attention to this. The economy was getting better. This was the issue that I think a lot of Republicans thought, we're going to be able to point to this. We're going to be able to say this hasn't been working at all. It did not meet the expectations that it was expected to meet. And this was such a bad idea. And this is why you should be voting to get rid of the folks in Congress.
So it may be the performance of ACA, the real-time performance in that past year, that has made the difference. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But first, I want to thank Loretta Beniti, who is senior political reporter for Time Warner Cable News. Thanks, Loretta.
Thank you.
Just ahead, the second installment of the State of Things Issues Table, and we will look at ACA and get a kind of performance review of 1 year in. You'll hear about that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.